Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers and Jeff Perry. It is Thursday, June 8th, 2023. It is 608 day. That's right. In the area code 608. It is the 6th month or the 8th day of the 6th month. So it's 608 day. Going to celebrate that as we come to you from the heart of the 608. Our capital, Madison, Wisconsin, the world headquarters of Civic Media right now on University Avenue. Soon to move downtown, as Nancy Sinatra once sang, on State Street. The offices are there, the actual headquarters, as far as broadcasting or not. Going to have a great guest today at 1:30. We're going to visit the 715 area code just for a few minutes. Going to go up there to Wausau, visit with the fantastic Wausau mayor, Katie Rosenberg. Going to talk a little shared revenue about PFAS. She was in Madison within the last week, testifying on PFAS at the state legislature. Also, tourism. If you've never been to Wausau, it's a great community. Mayor Rosenberg will be here to tell you why we should each take a little trip to Wausau this summer. And then at 2:30, in hour number two, from the heart of the 608 here in Madison, we welcome State Senator Kelda Royce from the 26th Senate District here in Madison. She is a member of the Joint Committee on Finance, better known as JFC, the most powerful committee in the state legislature. And she's talking to us about her quest to get more funding for child care issues in Wisconsin, also special ed in public schools, and talk a little bit about the UW system. Hope you stick around, particularly our listeners in Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin, and also in Madison, for that matter. Because we're going to be talking to Senator Royce about University of Wisconsin-Madison and the brand new engineering building being cut out of the budget by Joint Finance Republicans. UW-Madison has already raised about $150 million in private money that's in danger of being lost if the legislature doesn't do its part and put in the state funding. And we'll also talk briefly about UW-Richland and the closing of UW-Richland and perhaps what the Democrats on the Joint Finance Committee are willing to do. We recorded that interview yesterday, so I know what she said. You are not going to want to miss it, particularly those people who might be listening on the 17th floor of Van Nuys at UW System, particularly those people who might be listening in on the Joint Finance Committee, i.e. co-chair Howard Markline, his office, who represents southwest Wisconsin, including UW-Richland. We're doing the work for him. We're trying to do our part. Stay tuned. Hour number two, you're not going to want to miss it. Great interview with Senator, State Senator Kelda Royce. We're also celebrating, speaking of Richland Center, the favorite son, the favorite hated son, Frank Lloyd Wright. It is his birthday. And, of course, taking your phone calls. Why do I say hated? Because Jeff and I both grew up in Richland Center.
He still owes my grandpa $100, Todd.
This is true. Well, I don't know about that. So I went back in 2000, I was the Chamber of Commerce Main Street Executive Director at Richland Center. And Frank Lloyd Wright was born in Richland Center. And so we said, well, hey, let's celebrate his birthday. Let's get some tourism. There's the Warehouse Museum, which still stands. And thank God it's now in private hands and people can go tour it. And we tried to, well, let's make some money off of this because we had busloads of people that would come up and want to tour the warehouse and find out about Frank Lloyd Wright because he's a world-famous architect, renowned, great at his craft. But yet people in Richland Center still had a bugaboo, still had a burr under their saddle because Frank Lloyd Wright owed their grandfather $100 for lumber or something like this. I mean, it's just crazy. He's a great architect. And Richland Center is a great place. And I want to see a healing. You understand? I want to see a healing between Richland Center and Frank Lloyd Wright. Because the folks at Spring Green got the right idea. Frank Lloyd Wright went a few miles down the road and built Taliesin. They've been making money off of him for years. Right? Let's see a helium between Richland County and Frank Lloyd Wright. Let's put a statue up there. Let's just say this is the birthplace. Let's make some money.
You're the man to do it, Todd.
Well, I tried. It turned out I wasn't the man. Mr. Zomers, how are you today, by the way?
Doing pretty well.
You're on your seventh show of the day. We appreciate that.
It's not seven. It's five today.
Only five shows today. Good.
Wait,
gosh.
Is it five?
I don't know.
No, I think it's... I don't know. I'm losing my
mind. You've joined the ranks
of
Phil Nee in Richland Center and Chad Holmes in Wausau. That's now one of the three hardest working people at Civic Media.
Oh, no. They still do way more. those two, Brian Kelly, Corey.
I know. They all do. They all do a lot.
Yeah, we got a lot of hardworking people here.
We do. Let's get into it, gentlemen. Let's get into the big story of the day. A couple of top news stories, one here in Wisconsin and one across the nation. First of all, breaking news within the last hour or so out of CBS 58. It is A.J. Bayaport, reporter there for CBS 58 out of Milwaukee. Shared revenue shift. The bill will allow Milwaukee officials to vote on sales tax. Kristen Bryan, Jay Matinier talking about this, their big issue of the day on As Goes Wisconsin earlier this morning, doing a great job. There's been an agreement, bipartisanship, apparently breaking out in Milwaukee and also in the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll go there as well. As Judge Roberts and Kavanaugh, they grew a pair, did the right thing. We'll take your phone calls on both these issues and Mandy Wright. We have Mandy Wright. That's an old name that came into my head. Katie Rosenberg after this. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 1:15 across the state of Wisconsin. Welcome all of you from Milwaukee to Amory to Hayward, Green Bay, the Fox Valley, including Oshkosh, Richland Center, Madison, Wisconsin Rapids, and all points in between, all across the great state of Wisconsin. We welcome you in on the Civic Media Radio Network for this 608 day, June 8th of 2023, taking your calls at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Again, breaking news at this hour across Wisconsin within the last hour and a half or so, courtesy of A.J. Bayaport from CBS 58 Milwaukee. A shared revenue shift. Apparently, there has been a compromise reached now that will allow Milwaukee officials to vote on the sales tax issue. In the high-stakes negotiations on a bill that would boost state aid for local government and allow Milwaukee to pursue desperately needed new revenue, an amended version of the legislation will allow city and county elected officials to vote on new local sales taxes. According to CBS 58, three different sources in Milwaukee's local government have told them that the shared revenue bill will put the Milwaukee sales tax vote, which has been the biggest sticking point at the state capitol, in the hands of the Milwaukee Common Council and Milwaukee County Board. The elected bodies would be required to approve the taxes with a two-thirds majority. This has been a standoff between Republican Speaker Robin Voss, Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux, and Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Lemieux and Voss throwing down different gauntlets, one saying that the governor had till last night, the other one saying till the end of the week or they were going to move on. But despite all the rhetoric, apparently negotiations did go on throughout the night and into today, and there is an agreement in principle to make this happen. Good news for Milwaukee. And I think good news for Wisconsinites as well. Speaking of Wisco, let's go to the phones now. Wisco Paul from Madison, welcome to the program, sir. What say you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Tom. You got a really good show here. It's good news for Milwaukee, and the amount of money the Republicans have left on the table without legalized marijuana, Amtrak, and Medicaid money is amazing. So they need to do something, and also they need to remember that they are not going to own the Supreme Court down the road here. And if we get new lines, they're not going to be in total control. We'll actually get some good government back. But I want to say one thing about Kavanaugh. That's the judge the left fought the hardest, and he seems to be the most sensible. Right? He seems sensible. I'll probably take a hit back from that, but, I mean, I, All right, thanks for taking my call. Have a great day.
Yeah, absolutely, Wisco Paul. Thanks for calling in to Madison. You could be like Wisco Paul. Give us a ring, toll-free, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Or make it easy on yourself, 844-96-PARTY. 96-P-A-R-T-Y. What Wisco Paul's referring to there is the other breaking story this afternoon about 2 hours ago, the United States Supreme Court issuing a surprising 5-4 ruling in favor of black voters in a congressional redistricting case from Alabama, with two conservative justices joining liberals in rejecting a Republican-led effort to weaken a landmark voting rights law. Chief Justice John Roberts, and yes, believe it or not, Justice Brett Kavanaugh, joined the court's liberals in affirming a lower court's ruling that found a likely violation of the Voting Rights Act in an Alabama congressional map with one majority black seat out of seven congressional districts in a state where one in four residents is black. The state now will have to redraw the maps before next year's election. The decision was closely watched for its potential effect on control of the closely divided U.S. House of Representatives. Because of the ruling, Republican-led legislators in Alabama and Louisiana will have to redraw maps so they could increase black representation. This was closely watched, as Wisco Paul alluded to there. Because what happened in Alabama, we've talked about this before in redistricting, what happens is there's called packing and cracking. All right, in redistricting, when you draw the lines. Packing is when you pack in as many like voters into one district as possible, therefore making that one district either a guaranteed seat for the Republicans or the Democrats, but essentially you deny more representation throughout your state. So what Republicans down in Alabama did is they packed in as many of the black voters into one district as possible, gerrymandered the lines, and all the other six districts of Alabama were predominantly white and Republican. Supreme Court says, nope, not going to have anything to do with that. And a surprise that Chief Justice John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh, both conservatives, joined the liberals on this decision. The Chief Justice himself, according to this article in the Associated Press last year, said that he was open to changes in the way high courts, suggested that he was open to changes in the way courts weigh discrimination claims under the part of the law known as Section 2. But today Roberts wrote that the court was declining, quote, to recast our Section 2 case law as Alabama requests, unquote. Roberts was part of a conservative high court majority in earlier cases that made it harder for racial minorities to use the Voting Rights Act in ideologically divided rulings in 2013 and 2021. Attorney General Merrick Garland applauding the ruling today, saying, quote, today's decision rejects efforts to further erode fundamental voting rights protections and preserve the principle that in the United States, all eligible voters must be able to exercise their constitutional right to vote free from discrimination based on their race, unquote. What do you think about that? Supreme Court saying, nope, cannot pack, use gerrymander to pack the districts down in Alabama. Going to make them redraw the lines. To Wisco Paul's point, on both these issues, both in Milwaukee, the seemingly compromise in Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin, between Republicans and Democrats on shared revenue in Milwaukee, and now in this case of the Supreme Court, it feels like Republicans and conservatives are feeling the heat a little bit, as Wisco Paul pointed out. Of course, Supreme Court justices aren't elected. They're there for life, whether we like it or not right now. I'm thankful. I mean, it sets a precedent in the Supreme Court. It gives me a little hope on redistricting and gerrymandering. And in Milwaukee, gives me hope as well, to Wisco Paul's point, that Republicans know that with Judge Jana Protasiewicz, now Justice Protasiewicz-elect, coming on the court later this year in August, it is pretty much certain there is going to be a lawsuit brought that will come before the Wisconsin Supreme Court on gerrymandering, on redistricting. Most likely won't go well for Republicans. So is this compromise, this pragmatic approach here, is this an effort to try to ameliorate or to make better in the minds of voters in some of these swing districts that, hey, we could actually work with the governor here? Whatever it is, I'm thankful that it worked. I like to see pragmatism in our government here. What do you think? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Again, this story being broken by CBS 58 Milwaukee by A.J. Biapour, making the point that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said at the time, quote, he was done negotiating, but talks have instead continued between Republican leaders and Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley have long favored letting the local elected bodies vote on the Milwaukee sales tax. Under the bill, Milwaukee would be allowed to pursue a 2% city sales tax. Interestingly enough, Milwaukee is currently the only U.S. city of its size that is not allowed to have its own sales tax. Did you know that? I'm not sure, so sure that I did. Wisconsin allows counties to have a sales tax of up to 0.5%, a half percent. The shared revenue bill that's been agreed to, in principle, reportedly, will let Milwaukee County bump its sales tax to 0.875%. For both the city and county, the new sales tax revenue could only be used to pay off existing pension obligations and to maintain police and fire services. Senate Majority Leader Republican Devin LeMahieu said he supports allowing Milwaukee's local elected bodies to vote on the new sales tax, but it is unclear whether there is enough votes in the state Senate to pass the shared revenue bill with that amendment, which means, dun-dun-dun, we have to work with Democrats to get a few votes. Imagine that. Having to have happen in the Wisconsin legislature, the same thing that happened in the United States Congress last week on raising the debt ceiling, where Republicans and Democrats have to come together to vote on the same bill to help the majority of Wisconsinites. God forbid that we actually have pragmatic bipartisanship break out. I think this is good. A spokesman for LeMahieu declined comment this morning. At a Republican press conference yesterday, Senator Dewey Strobel, Republican of Cedarburg, indicated an agreement could be imminent. He said yesterday, quote, it seems things may be coming together. It appears, Strobel said. We'll see. Well, obviously, he was right on that. Governor Evers had previously said he would veto a version of the bill that left the sales tax votes to public referenda. The concern is voters in the city and county would reject a new sales tax, especially if that revenue was limited to only paying off pension debt and covering public safety services. Well, of course, right? Pretty hard to pass a referendum, a special referendum at that one. There's no other reason to go to the polls and say, yeah, we'd like to ask you whether or not you would like to raise your own taxes and then explain why this is a good thing. Chances of that passing aren't real high, right? So again, being reported by CBS 58, A.J. Biapour in Milwaukee at this hour, that an agreement in principle, you know, fine details or the devil's in the details, but in principle, Republicans in the legislature and Democratic Governor Tony Evers have come to an agreement on shared revenue. Going to be asking our next guest, Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg, about shared revenue. Because this has been an issue that has been something that people across the state of Wisconsin, local government elected officials, have been hot about, and rightly so. There is a $7 billion surplus of our state taxpayer money in the coffers down here in Madison, and the Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee have been reticent to fund needed programs, including shared revenue. Shared revenue is that money that is set aside our tax money that goes back to local municipalities for things like EMS, fire departments, police departments. We're going to go up to the 715 Wausau, ask the great mayor, Katie Rosenberg, about shared revenue, PFAS, and tourism. Don't go anywhere. Glad to have you here on 608 Day. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 1:33 here across the state of Wisconsin. Someone who has pursued truth, who has found it, who continues to speak it, is our first guest today. It is Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. She is in her first term there. Shocked a lot of people and famous for her quote on Twitter, "Holy balls."
And
who wouldn't? I mean, who wouldn't be excited?
Yeah, you got to celebrate those moments, especially when you're at the beginning of COVID and you have no idea what's about to happen. Exactly. It's even more applicable now, let me tell you.
Well, you've been famous for a lot more. Part of your term so far, Mayor Rosenberg, and first of all, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Well, you were so kind when there was I don't want to spend a lot of time on this today, but there was an incident of anti-Semitism up in Wausau that made a lot of papers, made a lot of news, and I reached out to you via Twitter, and you were so kind within like 15 minutes to pop on the show and speak to us live about that. I really appreciated that, but I wanted to have you back on the show to talk in larger part about issues and Wausau.
So stuff.
Exactly. Because there's a lot of great things happening in Wausau. I want to touch first of all on something we have been talking about here on the show today, breaking news, that it appears the legislature and the governor have come to an agreement on a shared revenue. The Milwaukee part more so, allowing local elected officials to vote on raising the sales tax there. But I want you to talk to folks across Wisconsin, a city the size of Wausau, and what it means to your share of shared revenue and what that means to your city once you get it.
Heck yes, this is a big deal, as the president would say. It's a BFD, right?
Right.
It's huge. Yeah. So, you know, obviously in the executive budget, Wausau would have gotten $3 million more. We would have been really excited to accept that and pay for things and services that the people want. But we're still doing really well under this current plan. I think it's around $1 million extra that the city of Wausau would get, yeah, which matters a whole lot. We're hiring 12 new firefighters, and we got a federal grant to cover the first 3 years of their work, but we got to figure out how to pay for it for the rest of time now. So this will really go along for helping us get that done. So it's good, and you know, obviously, I'm glad to hear that they've decided to move in a way where they're empowering local government. We've had a lot of conversations about how the state works with the local government, and you know, we're all interrelated and frenemies in some ways. So this is good news all around. We need Milwaukee to succeed. All of this needs to happen.
One of the important things to me as a long time and now former Republican, having left the party back in 2011, one of the things we heard all the time when I was part of the Republican Party is, you know, more local control, more decisions made locally. We want the money to come back home. And now, of course, you know, back the badge. But yet, when it comes time to actually back the badge with police and law enforcement and money for firefighters or EMS, Republicans have been reticent to do that. And I think hearing from someone like you saying, no, this matters. This makes a difference in our law enforcement community and the protections that we offer people in central Wisconsin like Wausau.
No, you're exactly right. This does offer us, and also knowing that, you know, they have some stipulations on this, but largely the money that we get from the state goes directly into these services, emergency services, potholes, all of it. So really important. We're really excited to have a little bit of flexibility because, you know, we have experienced an influx of unhoused folks in that population. And so now we're working on creating a program with our fire department and with support from our local hospital systems. We've got a couple who are buying into us.
Wow.
And we're really excited that we're going to be able to help kind of assuage some of those issues that come up and able to cultivate better relationships with people, help people find services they need. So this does offer us a lot of flexibility to be able to offer programming like that. And it might seem like an expansion of government, but it also kind of downgrades some of the other stuff and more expensive stuff that happens when there's emergencies. So this is really good news.
We had one of your counterparts, not counterpart, but I guess equal, Mayor Mike Wiese from Stevens Point on the show.
Central Wisconsin represent.
Right, in last fall. And one of the things that he talked about was, you know, we find things in Stevens Point that just are good for the community. And I don't care whether what people vote R or D or I or whatever, they come together in Stevens Point to get things done for the community. It seems like that's what you're doing in Wausau as well.
Oh yeah, you absolutely have to do that. If that is not your number one focus as mayor, you're gonna have a bad time and you're not gonna be reelected, right? Like, you have to focus on the stuff that's good for the people. And, you know, there's a lot of that. We're able to do a lot of that from our support for events. We just had our very first concert on the square of the season last night. So, you know, it was 3,000 of our best friends out there listening to music and enjoying a picnic. It was beautiful. But, you know, you have to focus on that. People aren't interested in catchphrases. You know, what might work in Washington or even Madison does not work when you are walking down the street and your neighbor comes to ask you what the hell is going on.
I spent a couple of terms on the city council in Richland Center. A town of 5,000 people, a markedly smaller place than Wausau. But in your opinion, because this is what I found, I hear from people like Mayor Wiese and Stevens Point and other places, in your opinion, all of the rhetoric about the partisanship and all this that comes, as you said, either out of D.C. or national TV or even state TV or other places, does that kind of melt away? Do you see that in Wausau, or do you see a more of a spirit of working together?
So I would say largely on the issues that are the bread and butter issues of any city, like, you would not be able to tell me who is more conservative and who's more liberal. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're talking about our firefighters, good example. When we're talking about fixing potholes, when we're talking about our parks, we're talking about cleaning up PFAS, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no distinction between whose ideology. It is all about what works best for the people. Now, I will say there is this corrosive national dialogue that creeps into some of the stuff. We had Pride, our Wausau Pride Fest over the weekend. It was wonderful. But, you know, there were people protesting and saying the same national catchphrases and awful things. And that is just part of it now. So you have to kind of gird yourself every time you realize there's going to be like a culture war almost.
Do you think that the protests, that sort of, are those local folks from Wausau, or do you think it's more people regional or national coming in to stir up trouble? Or a little both?
I think these were a couple of local people. Let me tell you, there were thousands of people who were out celebrating and maybe five people who were protesting. So I don't want to make a big deal out of this.
That's an important point.
Yeah. The things they were saying were definitely the national rhetoric. It is the same stuff you see. Read my Twitter replies. It's the same stuff. Yeah. So
you brought up PFAS. I want to touch on that for a moment. You were down here in Madison within the last week. What were you here for? What were you saying?
Yeah, so I was in Madison on Monday because the Senate Natural Resources Committee held a public hearing on the bill, kind of the trailer to the budget with PFAS. And so they put in a lot of different regulations and stipulations that they'd like to see with how this money is allocated. And, you know, I got a chance to read the bill, read the analysis, talk to anybody who was willing to talk to me on a Friday night, which actually, surprisingly, a lot of people were willing to talk to me about this. So shout out to Representative Katrina Shanglin, who answers my phone calls when she's in rural Portage County and I'm in rural Marathon County. We could barely hear each other, but we did talk. But, you know, I was down there to kind of give Wausau's point of view because, you know, we are in a different situation than other municipalities that have discovered PFAS. Every single one of our wells is contaminated. We don't get to just turn off one well. We don't get to just filter one well. We have to do it all. And so I wanted to get across to the legislature that, you know, the scope of the problem, we should talk about this as a needs-based kind of allocation of grant funding because the need is so different. We're probably in most need here in Wausau of all of our neighbors. However, there are other places, Marinette, Peshtigo, all these other places, they are in a completely different scenario and they need a lot more help too. So I think there's an opportunity to make this work. You know, and I'm also concerned as somebody who cares about systems that we have a DNR that is able to deploy this program ASAP. And so, you know, some of the stipulations on the DNR I don't really love. And I said that, and what we're concerned about is the ability of the DNR to get the job done, that they have the staffing level that's appropriate. I don't know what that is, but they sure do.
Right. And I think this is another example of, you know, a little bit of a pragmatic approach. It's taken Republicans a little bit longer than I think it should have to get there. But for those that don't know, PFAS are these microbial basic level plastics that are found in water that just do not disappear. Mayor Rosenberg from, we're talking to Mayor Katie Rosenberg from Wausau. I know you're not a scientist, but can you explain kind of in layman's terms how these plastics end up in our water?
Yeah, so I mean, back in the day, it was like the wonder substance of chemistry, like discovering how to keep things water repellent, right? Mm-hmm. Like waterproof, all of the stuff you care about when you go camping, or even, you know, I had one moment a few months ago when I was hiking and I stepped in a mud puddle and I was like, wow, my feet are completely dry. And I'm sure that's because of the PFAS. They're coating my boots, right? So they're everywhere. They were nonstick cookware. They're actually in makeup. They're like long lasting mascara, things like that. So it's in a lot of consumer goods. And my hope is that we start talking about banning the substance nationally. Mm-hmm. You're seeing some corporations decide that they're going to get rid of it, but it's still slow. Yeah. I mean, asking a company to stop using them by 2025 while they're still contaminating our water. And then not to mention some of the biggest polluters are the federal government because they have the military bases with the firefighting foams and they're required to practice some of this stuff. And so we got to figure out how do we replace this? How do we remediate? How do we make sure this isn't going into our water supply? And I don't think I mentioned, I'm sorry, I'm not even taking a breath here.
Good for you.
3 weeks ago, we had our city council meeting and we agreed to go into litigation. We're suing the manufacturers of PFAS. We didn't want to go after the local businesses. We wanted to go after the manufacturers because as you're now seeing story after story come out, they knew it was harmful and yet still went out for decades.
That's the really irritating part is they knew the damage they were doing and they did it anyway. You know, all comes down, as we say, to the dollar sign, right? Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
But again, great leadership from you in Wausau and your counterparts across the state who are working with both sides of the aisle, right? Again, Republicans may have taken a while
to get
there. Yeah.
We are a purple place.
Because you actually want to get something done. Talk to us a little bit about my youngest godson spent a summer doing an internship at Granger up there, one of your big employers in Wausau. I got to spend a little bit of time down by the river. You have a beautiful farmer's market down there, a lot of great, exciting things. And contrary to popular belief, Wausau is really not in northern Wisconsin because it's still on Highway 29, which is the divide. We call it central Wisconsin. But no matter where you are in Wisconsin, give folks some reasons to either drive up, down, or across and come to Wausau this summer.
Oh my gosh. Okay, first of all, this debate is obviously something that's gone on forever.
Right.
And you know, we can always be up north to somebody, no problem. But the North Woods, I mean, I'm a Highway 8 gal, so I'm throwing it out
really?
There.
Okay. All right.
Highway 8, yes. So, but yeah, we have a lot going on in Wausau. You know, obviously in the wintertime, we have Granite Peak, really fun, snowshoeing, all of the cross-country skiing, any outdoor stuff. It's so much fun. I bought myself some Carhartt insulated pants, probably insulated with PFAS. I don't know. but they kept me warm all winter and I was able to enjoy everything about winter. But summer is glorious.
Yeah.
We do have every Wednesday concerts on the square, lots of local favorite bands, some you've probably heard of before. We have all kinds of events. We just had Pride. We will have our Juneteenth celebration. We'll have a variety. I'm trying to think of all of the stuff. We have our, it's a new event. It's Wings Over Wausau at the airport.
Really? That sounds cool.
Yes.
A fly-in, drive-in type of thing? Or?
Yes. So there, you'll have biplane rides. There'll be all kinds of, there'll be a fly-in of all kinds of warbirds and stuff like that. Super fun. Mm-hmm. And I've heard there's also chicken wing competition.
What?
So if that's a thing that you like, you're going to want to be in Wausau in July. We have Chalk Fest. We have, you know, we have a balloon fest that's technically not Wausau, but everyone calls it that. It's the team. Right. But we'll be here for you when you want to take a break from it and eat at one of our fine establishments.
And the farmer's market's amazing. I've been to that.
I love that you love our farmer's market.
I do.
They are amazing.
Right?
I know that your listeners can't see this, but do you see? I have a little kohlrabi here.
Nice. A little tattoo on the forearm.
I proclaimed Wausau the kohlrabi capital of North America because if you didn't know, apparently central Wisconsin eats the most kohlrabi in North America. The only other place where they eat more is Germany, I guess, which makes sense. They invented the words kohlrabi. And we apparently use it in all things German, but also because of our booming immigrant population, it's a really popular stand-in instead of green papaya to use in slaws and things.
Wow.
In Southeast Asian cooking. So a lot of fun stuff. Yes.
As Johnny Carson once said, I did not know that. The kohlrabi capital of the world proclaimed by Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg.
Nobody can stop me.
Mayor Rosenberg, love having you on the show. Great job in Wausau. Love to catch up with you at Bull Falls Radio soon. Take care. Have a great day. Thanks for joining us. Back after this on the Todd Allball Show, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network on 608 Day, coming to you from the 608 in Madison, Wisconsin, the world headquarters of Civic Media on University Avenue in Madison. It is also Frank Lloyd Wright's birthday, born in my hometown, in Mr. Perry's hometown of Richland Center in the 608, although he likes spring green better, just a fact. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. How about Mayor Katie Rosenberg? How cool is she? I mean, a super chill mayor.
That was wonderful. She's fantastic. And I got to get up to that farmer's market.
I know. Take you, Mr. Zomers, along in the Dodge Ram, and we'll camp out or something up there.
Yeah, and she's definitely what I think. When I picture in my head what I would want to have as a mayor going forward in the modern day, where now with everyone thing always being online, like hoity-toity, stuffy,
right,
procedural stuff of politics past is more or less gone, at least on the local level. And someone like her is going to connect with the people of the city. And she does. She spends a lot of time specifically doing that.
You know
what
she does?
Joining programs like this.
You know what she does? She gets stuff done. I mean, finally, you know, politicians, younger politicians that just want to get stuff done. Forget about Republican, Democrat, just get stuff done. About time. The complete antithesis of that as we go to Washington, D.C. at 1:52. Story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Lawrence Andrea on the Freedom Caucus paralyzing the United States House of Representatives. The House adjourned for the week last night amid a stalemate within the Republican conference that has temporarily put the chamber's business on hold. A group of about 11 members, led by those in the far-right House Freedom Caucus, effectively paralyzed House proceedings yesterday, or pardon me, on Tuesday, by blocking legislation, including a bill led by U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald of Wisconsin, from moving forward to the floor for a vote, largely in protest of Kevin McCarthy, the speaker's handling of the debt ceiling negotiations. So you see what happened here? Kevin McCarthy was essentially forced to compromise with President Joe Biden on raising the debt ceiling. And you know what? Again, not condoning how we got there to that point, but again, a pragmatic solution was found. Both the far right and the far left were ticked off. Probably a fairly good piece of legislation averted a financial catastrophe, not just in the U.S., but around the world. But the House Freedom Caucus, the far-right wingers, the MAGA, MAGA, Trumpster caucus, they're ticked off because their power got diminished. So they're holding up all the proceedings this week on the House floor, including this bill by Congressman Scott Fitzgerald of Wisconsin, just because they're ticked off, mad at Kevin McCarthy. Mark Pocan, U.S. Congressman from Wisconsin, who we had on the program yesterday, said he's frustrated by members of both parties. Said the pause of proceedings over the dispute, quote, shows the dysfunction within the Republican Party. Quote, we should be well into the appropriations process, and yet they haven't begun, Pocan said. He had manufactured issues as ludicrous as gas stoves. They can't even build consensus in their own party. Having a fight over gas stoves, Republicans are. Meanwhile, U.S. Congressman Tom Tiffany, Toxic Tom, as some people call him, up in northern Wisconsin, He voted against raising the debt ceiling. Remember that? He's part of the Freedom Caucus. He says, well, members were just expressing their feelings, quote unquote, over the argument. He said McCarthy has done a really good job, but he said he wished McCarthy negotiated the deal with the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer instead of the White House. Like I said, I think Tom Tiffany is going to run against Tammy Baldwin, moving further to the right to make himself more appealing to the right wingers in primary. Here's a note for you, particularly our listeners over in La Crosse and Eau Claire and Richland Center in the 3rd Congressional District. Freshman U.S. Representative Derek Van Orten, however, said he was focusing on his work on the Agriculture and Veterans Affairs Committee and suggested he thought the delays from those in his party were unproductive. Quote, it is detrimental to what we're trying to do, Van Orten said in a brief interview. Quote, the federal government should be able to help American citizens, and when we get caught up in this party stuff, it is a detriment to our ability to do so. So I'm not just doing that, unquote. See what's happening? Derek Van Orten, who was at January 6th, who posted a picture on his Facebook page, proud of it, to participate in the insurrection against the United States, now looking at the numbers for 2024 and realizing he could be in some trouble. Literally, Derek Van Orten on social media, putting on a baseball cap and blue jeans and a golden retriever and the U.S. flag, trying to make himself as palatable and kind and moderate as possible. And now saying all the right things here. I'm telling you, Derek Van Orten is a wolf in sheep's clothes politically. Do not be fooled by this guy. Reps Mike Gallagher and Brian Steele, both allies of McCarthy who were tapped by the California Republican to chair committees, didn't outright condemn the delaying tactics of their colleagues, but suggested they'd rather be doing scheduled work. Quote, this is a big, long family car trip, Steele told the Journal Sentinel. I'd rather be working on behalf of the American people, but we'll get there, unquote. There's no reason for this. No reason that the work of the United States Congress should be held up because of a few right-wing nut jobs in the mega caucus, the Freedom Caucus. They don't have the chutzpah to actually call for a vote for Kevin McCarthy, but they just want to slow the process down. Again, government simply not working for the people, for the taxpayers. So we shall see. We're going to come back at hour number two. Going to take more of your phone calls. Going to talk about the 608. Where is your favorite place in the 608 area code? That kind of goes from south of Madison all the way over to the Mississippi River, up along the Mississippi River, includes La Crosse, Richland Center, Platteville, the Dells, Madison, Wisconsin. What's your favorite town in the 608? What's your favorite activity in the 608? We'll take your calls in hour number two, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We'll talk about the 608 in hour number two. Also talk a little bit about what's happening in Trumpster world. Looks like a criminal indictment could be on the horizon for the Trumpster very soon. And most importantly, in hour number two, at 2:30, we are going to talk in an interview we recorded yesterday with State Senator Kelda Royce about a lot of things happening on the Joint Finance Committee, including the UW system, UW-Madison, and UW-Richland. Would Democrats support a motion by Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz to save the campus and Richland Center? We've got the answer. Don't go anywhere. The Todd Allball Show is next, hour number two on the Civic Media Radio Network.